Welcome to In Conversation on 1050 Chum. I'm your host, Kathy Sabokin. And let's face it, we've all had dark days when nothing seems to be going right, when seemingly negative events happen, like a loss of a job or a disagreement with someone, maybe you even got robbed. And there are other days when all is well and we feel joyful and alive. How do you know if God is with you? How do you know if you're on the right path? How do you know if you're living in the light? Well, my guest today will shed some light on these very questions. He's Ryder Stevens. Ryder was a Christian Science chaplain and a colonel with the U.S. Army. He's practiced prayer to resolve conflict, sometimes in very difficult circumstances. Ryder is a published author. He has a master's in divinity and a BA in biology. And Ryder has been involved in a long list of international conferences. Ryder joins me now on the phone from his home in Auburn, Washington. Hi, Ryder, and welcome to In Conversation.
Good morning, Kathy. Thank you for having me.
And I'm so happy you could join me, and I'm going to give you a plug already because Ryder Stevens will be giving a lecture in Toronto. It's on Saturday, December 1st from 2 to 3 at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education. That's at 252 Bloor Street West. It's a free lecture, free parking, free childcare too. The lecture is called Christian Science, Light of Revelation, and you will walk away with a practical method of prayer and an expectation to feel the light of God's love. Hey, isn't that all what we'd love to have? So just for those of us, Ryder, who aren't sure, you're with the Christian Science, and what is the Christian Science? How do you define that?
Well, the proper name of the church is the Church of Christ Scientists. Christian Science is the method of prayer that is taught and practiced in the church. Christian Science practice is a manner of prayer that is derived from the Gospels and the teachings of Christ Jesus. It first and foremost proclaims God's sovereignty and is grateful for that. It sees evil as a liar that tries to impose and usurp the authority of God in our lives, and then gives grateful and humble and expectant gratitude to see God's love, His grace, moving in our lives, healing and redeeming and transforming us so we can be a bigger blessing to others and feel God's blessing in our lives.
Now, the founder is a woman named Mary Baker Eddy?
Correct. Mary Baker Eddy is the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. She was a 19th century woman from New England. She was raised in a Calvinist home. She had a lifelong inclination to turn to the Bible and to prayer to resolve problems, and she had a whole history of personal problems, and she finally had a moment when things seemed bleakest, and she turned to the Bible, she was healed, and she decided that there had to be something far more practical in the practice of Christianity than what she saw around her, because she felt that she had this turning point from studying the gospel, and she devoted her next several years to studying the Bible and writing, and she started healing others and teaching others to heal, and she eventually wrote a textbook, and that textbook is Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and she revised it, seven major revisions over the next 35 years of her life as she learned to heal better, teach better. She clarified her vision of this divinely inspired method of prayer that comes from the Comforter.
And she goes way back. She was in the, it was in the 1800s,
right?
The mid-1800s, and she's from New England. So
right.
The Christian Science, or the Church of Christ Scientists, has been around for quite a while.
Yes.
This is not something new.
No.
And we don't want to get it confused with something Tom Cruise is involved with.
No, it is not Scientology. Not even, no.
And why is the word science in there?
Well, I think the real reason is if we consider science to be knowledge, then knowledge of God through Christ is the most important knowledge we have. And one thing that we have when we have things that we use with a scientific method is that we apply them consistently and constantly. And there's nothing more important in terms of our growing in our relationship to our Father, Mother, God, than applying consistently and constantly the teachings of Christ Jesus, i.e. Christian Science.
Okay, Ryder, so you have a lecture coming up in Toronto, and you do travel around and lecture. And this particular topic, Christian Science, Light of Revelation, and that just went over a whole lot of heads, I'm sure. So if you can just explain that, bring it down to us, down to street level for us.
Right. Well, the title is Christian Science, Healing, Light of Revelation, but Christian Science works just fine because the implication is there. It's basically about how this method of prayer can bring a light into your lives that will reveal to you, because you see, revelation means to draw away a veil. And so what the intent is to show how this method of prayer is available to anyone and everyone, regardless of race, gender, or background, that it is intended to help each one of us discover the innate holiness of our relationship to God and how much God loves us, and that love of God is a light that sometimes we can almost feel, and that light will enlighten our lives, and we'll feel that.
Right, you say there is a method of prayer, as in, can you explain that? Is there a certain way to pray versus another method of praying?
Well, I think one of the things that we sometimes lose sight of is, sometimes prayer, I call it, giving God a laundry list, and and when we do that, sometimes we're praying to God as some types of superhuman psyche, like a capricious human personality. Jesus' prayers were prayers of proclamation. Jesus' prayers proclaimed the presence of God, and he had an expectation to see God's love, his grace, transforming and healing right there and then. One time I had a chaplain colleague from another church asked me, why do chaplains sound so bad and they pray in public? And I said, do you really want to know? And he said, yes. And I said, well, they're praying, asking God to be God. I said, he has the job. We don't have to ask God to be God.
So if someone were to sit down and pray, let's say they're inexperienced at prayer, how do you start?
I think the most important thing is just opening up your heart and trying to put aside the fears and the worries and let that light of love touch you. It's a thing of the heart. It's not of the head. And it's so much just letting ourselves be loved by God. God is always loving us. If the question is, can we put our sense of ego aside and let God love us and see that there's really a wonderful relationship there?
So there's some trust involved there. It's like, hello, God, it's Kathy calling.
There's an old gospel tune that I really loved called Operator, and it's really quite wonderful. It says, get me Jesus on the line, and it's kind of about listening, and that's what prayer is really about. It's about listening and just finding that inner thing, because what we really are seeking in prayer is to find that relationship that nurtures us beyond all others, and that's the sacred intimacy that we have with God.
So when you say listening, it's not just a person with words and that we're taught, brought down, this is a prayer. It's also a silence involved, where you might
be
in a meditation form and just listening, taking in what comes to you?
I think it starts with sometimes reading things that help us put aside our fears. I read things from the Bible. I read things from the Christian Science textbook. And then I just kind of often I'm just quiet and let thoughts come to me that really help me focus on the majesty and the power, the beauty, the holiness of God's love for his creation.
What can someone expect from their prayer?
Well, I think the most important thing is to feel uplifted. To feel a sense of wholeness, to feel a sense of at-one-ment with God, a sense of that, you know, I am loved of my Father, Mother, God, and my Father, Mother, God is always with me.
Just a little...
And that's a relationship that no one can give to you and no one can take away from you.
Just a little side note here, Ryder, the Christian Science calling God our Father, Mother, God. And I've heard other faiths, religions refer to God as Father, Mother. And that might be unusual for some people. So I'm
I think it's really wonderful that, you know, Mary Baker Eddy in 1872 started teaching God as Father, Mother. And it was not of any sense of sexism as much as it was to denote the fullness of God and the entirety of God. She talks about in her textbook, we don't have as much authority for considering God masculine as we do for considering him feminine. For love is the gives us the clearest idea of God.
Right, as in God having no gender.
Right.
God is just
exactly.
God. Right.
Because, you know, the truth of the matter is, as spiritual ideas of God, as spiritual children, God's offspring, spiritually, we don't have a gender either. You know, God doesn't see us as little boy children or little girl children. God sees us as his beloved children.
My guest is Ryder Stevens, and he'll be giving a lecture in Toronto on Saturday, December 1st from 2 to 3 at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education. That's at 252 Bloor Street West. It's a free lecture, free parking, free childcare. The lecture is called Christian Science, Healing Light of Revelation. Walk away with a practical method of prayer and an expectation to feel the light of God's love. For more information, call 416-924-3636. That's 416-924-3636. You're listening to In Conversation on 1050 CHUM. I'm your host, Kathy Sabokin. And Ryder, you were in the military as a chaplain in the U.S. military.
Yes.
And so you've faced life and death and helped people face all kinds of incredible situations. And that just makes me think of all kinds of world situations, war situations. Does praying help on a small scale with world problems?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's so important that people pray to see that God's in charge and that God's government is way beyond the sense of human government's egos and different manipulating forces. And it's very important that we all pray, regardless of how we feel about any situation, that we don't so much pray for outcomes as we pray to see that God's in charge and really understand that most likely the way God can work things out is beyond anything you're going to hear from any pundits on the television or on the radio. Because spiritual solutions, people who have spirituality in their life and who have a real sense of centeredness have a tendency to come up with solutions that are beyond the normal formula. And those are the ones that really do things. It's like the two ladies in Northern Ireland, one Protestant, one Catholic, Madrid Corrigan, and I think her other lady's name was Betsy Williams, who started the dialogue between Protestants and Catholics amidst all the arson, the murders, and yet that dialogue that they started based on their faith gave them a vision beyond everything that was going on. That became the basis of the Good Friday Accords.
Just a couple of locals.
Just a couple.
Taking it down to street level.
Right. And they were volunteer social workers. But what they shared at the end of the day was the 1976 Nobel Peace Prize.
You know, I was reading the monks protesting in Myanmar recently. They invited the people of their country to pray in the doorways of their homes for them.
Yes.
Just wanted you to comment on that. So now we're working, these big problems in big countries. People are getting killed, and they were asking, the monks were saying, you know, pray in the doorways of your homes. Let's make this a great big prayer.
Yeah. Well, I think it's basically, first of all, prayer is nonviolent, and prayer is a way of really trying to bring tranquility and stability to what could be quite a tempest area. I just think we all need to, first of all, we need to pray for ourselves every day, and then our families and community, but more importantly, in terms of the world, pray to see that God's in charge and understand that the entire world is filled with nothing but His children who respond to His law of divine principle.
How did prayer help when you were a chaplain for the U.S. military?
Well, I've been 23 years in the U.S. forces. I spent about 9 of those years with paratroopers, and we would be deploying places, and the first thing it helps with is getting past fear. I also would pray that the last bullet's already been fired wherever we were going, and I pray for things to work out quickly. But with dealing with soldiers, you know, dealing with their fears, and the thing about soldiers, normally, their greatest fear isn't about getting killed or getting wounded. Most times, their greatest fear is about being so afraid that they can't do their job.
They just can't cope. They can't be with God because they're so afraid. I'm sorry, there was a little bit of a phone glitch there.
That they're so afraid that they can't do their job.
They can't do their job.
Yeah, and that they, if they don't do their job right, that they might unintentionally get one of their fellow squad mates or platoon members killed. That's probably number one. And then the thing after that is probably a fear of getting maimed.
My guest is Ryder Stevens. Ryder Stevens will be giving a lecture in Toronto on Saturday, December 1st. It's from 2 to 3 in the afternoon at the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education. And that's at 252 Bloor Street West. It's a free lecture, free parking, free childcare too. The lecture is called Christian Science, Healing Light of Revelation. Walk away with a practical method of prayer and an expectation to feel the light of God's love. For more information, call 416-924-3636. That's 416-924-3636. If you'd like to learn more about Christian Science, you can tune in to 1050 CHUM every Sunday at 1:30 for the Christian Science Sentinel Radio Edition. And that's also on the internet at www.1050chum.com. There are Christian Science church services at First Church Toronto at 196 George Street. You can check out the First Church Toronto Reading Room as well. It's open all during the week and the weekends, and the website is www.firstchurchtoronto.com. As well, there's Fifth Church on Chatsworth Drive, and there's a First Church in Scarborough and a First Church Etobicoke. Some good websites, spirituality.com and csmonitor.com. Coming up, Living in the Light. How do you know you're following your path? We'll be right back after this.